Alarming news comes next day air.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The UPS news that its warning of lower profits than expected may sound like something technical, but it's not. UPS ships a lot of goods, which makes it a bellwether for the entire economy. So it can tell us a lot about where we're going. Joining us to talk more about this is Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So UPS says one of the reasons its profit will shrink is a slowing U.S. industrial economy. Talk about what that means for our big picture.
Well, that's right. It's a slowing U.S. industrial economy and a slowing global industrial commodity economy. And it is a big deal. It's a big deal because even though manufacturing is pretty small as an employer, it's a big part of GDP. In fact, income from manufacturing is about three times bigger than income from construction. It matters quite a bit.
And talk about that, too, because I know sometimes we get so much focus on housing, people talking about foreclosures going down, prices going up, but we don't hear as much as we should, perhaps, about the industrial economy compared to housing.
Yeah, that's right. And look, what we're seeing here is a reflection of several things. One of them is China. The finance minister from China last night saying it's not a big deal if they miss their 7.5% growth target. It's maybe not a big deal if China only grows 6.5. What we're beginning to realize is that reforms are being taken very seriously over there. It has dented growth, and that is hurting industrial output around the world. Orders by the 2000 biggest companies of machinery turned negative in the last quarter for the first time since the collapse of Lehman in 2009. We're really looking at a global manufacturing recession, and it is going to dent the U.S. economy next year.
Okay, Chris Lowe of FTN Financial, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Time to talk U.S. border security, but not the border you're maybe thinking of. The U.S.-Canada line is the longest international border on Earth, but the American security budget for it is a sliver of the billions it spends along Mexico. Some in American states bordering Canada want to see that change. That's a potential topic today as U.S. senators visit Montana. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Line up the northern Border Patrol agents in one line and all the southern ones in another. Edward Alden with the Council on Foreign Relations says it's not even close.
There are 18,500 on the border with Mexico and just over 2,200 on the border with Canada.
Why the disparity?
It's just straight economics.
Alden says agents made 330,000 arrests on the Mexican border last year, only 13,000 in the north.
The big thing that drives people to come illegally to the United States is a chance of making a lot more money. You know, if you're an average person coming from Mexico, you can increase your wage three or four times. That's not true, obviously, coming from Canada.
If the Senate has its way, the gap in resources may only grow. Bloomberg government analyst Matthew Hummer says the southern border would likely take the lion's share of the nearly $50 billion in added security spending in the Senate immigration bill.
A lot of that would go to defense contractors and providers of different technology and surveillance equipment.
Hummer says it makes sense. You put your resources where you get the most for your money. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
The healthcare overhaul includes a big expansion of Medicaid, the federal program for the poor. But some big states are opting out. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer tells us who's in, who's not, and what it means for our health.
23 states and the District of Columbia have agreed to expand Medicaid. Six are undecided, and 21 have said no. Among them, Texas, which is where 47-year-old Ricardo Rios lives. He would qualify for Medicaid under the health care law's expansion plan if Texas hadn't opted out. He's praying the state's leaders change their minds.
We just have to pray that everything will go well and it'll change.
If things don't change, Rios will continue struggling with being poor and uninsured. He's supposed to take medication for high blood pressure and insulin for diabetes. Sometimes he doesn't have the money to pay for his medicine, so he skips it. The lack of insulin leaves him weak and drowsy.
I just take a nap and hope that I can wake up back again, that I don't end up passing away.
There are a lot of people in Ricardo Rios' shoes. In fact, about two-thirds of the low-income uninsured who would qualify for Medicaid under the health care law live in states that will not expand it. Robin Rudowitz is a health care analyst at the Kaiser Family Foundation. She says there will be a huge coverage gap. For the uninsured, that means
high out-of-pocket costs, as well as, you know, really going without care or delaying care that they need.
Until they get so sick, they end up in the emergency room, in many cases unable to pay. The hospitals have to treat them for free. They may ask for more state aid. The federal government subsidizes some free care, but under health care reform, those subsidies shrink on the theory that more people will be insured. Stephen Zuckerman co-directs the Health Policy Center at the Urban Institute. He says hospitals in states that don't expand Medicaid will come under increasing strain.
Ultimately, that could lead these hospitals to have to restrict care to these uninsured populations. So it could be a problem 3-4 years out.
And Zuckerman says those hospitals will start pressuring their states to reconsider and expand Medicaid. Federal officials say states are free to change their minds anytime. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, you may have thought Sharknado was just a campy movie about sharks in a tornado, a cheap and profitable romp for the Sci-Fi Network. But in fact, it was also a major cultural event endorsed by no less than Mia Farrow. She was all over Twitter last night talking Sharknado. And yes, it was her, a verified account. She had film criticism appropriate for our time. Quote, OMG, OMG, OMG. Hashtag Sharknado. That was my all caps voice for the last OMG. A Sci-Fi exec quickly tweeted back at Farrow, offering a role in the sequel. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.